The book of wisdom wisely teaches us both we and our words are in God's hands. It is wise that the book of wisdom teaches us this because as a book, this book would not want, if a book could want, it would not want to be left in the hands of a fool to be read by foolish eyes and taught by foolish tongues. The wisdom imparted here also reminds the potential fool that he or she does not read, teach, write, or research alone. Prior to any desire for knowledge, any longing to know, there is the primal hunger for God, our preferred state of perfected union. Our intellectual and academic pursuits are marked from the beginning with the presence of God, wisdom. I chose to have wisdom rather than the light, because the splendor of her never yields to sleep. So even before the light is shown in the darkness, wisdom abides and seduces us to the humility proper before our Father in heaven. So what is wisdom? Our brother Thomas writes, according to Aristotle, it belongs to wisdom to consider the highest cause. By means of that cause, we are able to form a most certain judgment about other causes, and according thereto, all things should be set in order. Accordingly, it belongs to the wisdom, that is, an intellectual virtue, to pronounce right judgment about divine things after reason has made its inquiry. Now, slightly more simply put, wisdom is that habit of mind that seeks to discover and study the final causes of all things and put these things in their proper order, given their final cause. Now, Christian wisdom is not some goofy, spooky secret that floats around waiting for the right moment to possess someone. Nor is wisdom to be found among all of those sticky tomes of retail Gnosticism that haunts Borders and Barnes & Noble. These wisdoms, usually some form of Gnostic paganism muscled up with pseudoscientific jargon, these wisdoms tend to provide the weak ego with a boost of faux confidence and leads the newly self-minted guru to exalt himself or herself. But here's what we know from the wisest teacher of them all. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. On receiving a gift, we say thank you. We say thank you to the giver, thus humbling ourselves before the giver as a sign of our dependence on him or her for that gift. We say grace over our food, giving thanks to our benefactors and to our cook. Perhaps you woke up this morning and gave God thanks for one more day to serve him. We are all here now offering the ultimate thanksgiving of the Mass. But do we thank God for our reason, our ability to deliberate on moral problems, our sense of right and wrong given the limits of right reason? Our ability to experience creation and from it deduce godly truths? Do we thank God daily for his wisdom? If not, I wonder who it is that we call master. I wonder what it is that moves us to think about anything at all. To help his disciples maintain the humility necessary to grow in wisdom, Jesus tells them, "Do not be called rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers." He also says not to call anyone father or master, because they have one father and one master. The essential point here is that there is a single source of wisdom for us, just one origin for the understanding of all things made. This warning is not about titles or honorifics, but about foolishly identifying someone created as the source of creation. It is not difficult to see how quickly such folly grows into madness and that madness into the exaltation of one who was created from dust. What is there in the human mind that precedes the wisdom of the mind's creator? Nothing. Thomas called it straw. Straw has its proper uses, of course, and it is a good thing. But it is straw and not enduring truth. Enduring truth start for us when we come to understand that both we and our words are in God's hands.